My name is David Hurlston and I'm Senior Curator of Australian Art at the NGV. For this issue of NGV magazine, I've written a short piece on Australian artist Inger King. I first met Inger when I was a young art student in the 1970s. Her partner, Graham King, was my first year drawing lecturer, and for one of our lessons he invited us to their house, which was located in Warrandyte, on the eastern edge of Melbourne, to draw in the surrounding bush. What struck me at the time was the creative haven he and Inger had created for themselves. Graham's studio was adjacent to the house, and Inger's was beneath it, and was filled with sculptures at various stages of completion. An enormous chain block and tackle was suspended from a tree directly in front of the studio, an indication of the monumental scale of some of the works of art that emerged from that space. What also struck me at the time was Inger's amazing enthusiasm, her energy and creative output. She was an inspiration. Inger King worked as a sculptor for almost 80 years, a remarkable accomplishment by an equally remarkable woman. Arriving in Australia in 1951 with her Australian husband, artist Graham King, she made a significant and indelible contribution to the history of Australian art until her passing in 2016 at the age of 100. King began her art education in Berlin in 1937, crossed the North Sea to study in London, continued her studies in Scotland, moved back to London after graduating, then travelled to the United States before settling permanently in Australia, where she continued her practice for more than 60 years. She would go on to create some of the earliest abstract steel sculptures produced in this country. King was first introduced to sculpture by German figurative sculptor Hermann Nonnenmacher, with whom she spent 18 months developing skills in clay modelling and wood carving while she was living in Berlin. This was consolidated in the early 1940s when she was enrolled at the Glasgow School of Art in Scotland, studying under Estonian-born artist Benno Schotts. It was time spent in the United States in 1949 and 1950, however, where she witnessed developments in abstract expressionism through the work of Jackson Pollock, Mark Rothko, David Smith and Barnett Newman, that sculptural assemblage in steel aroused particular interest for Inger King. In a conversation we had in 2013, she noted, "My time in the United States was wonderful. It gave me new freedom. It was as though a ballast had fallen off me, a European ballast." King is arguably best known for her monumental public sculptures. One of her most admired works, Forward Surge, is located on the Arts Centre lawn in St Kilda Road, Melbourne. In 1973, she held an exhibition at Melbourne's Powell Street Gallery entitled Maquettes for Monumental Sculptures. It presented 11 works, including the first maquette for Forward Surge. This was an important exhibition that represented King's commitment to creating large-scale sculptures, and it sent a strong statement about how she conceived of her work and wanted it realised. Works in the exhibition were sold on the understanding that their enlargement would be undertaken by their purchasers. In 2004, at 89 years of age, King began what was to be the last major series of her career. These cosmic-themed sculptures combined the artist's long-term interest in assemblage with a new view of the organic and dynamic nature of the universe. In the final group of these large-scale works, of which Rings of Jupiter 3 is an example, King favoured the use of stainless steel to suggest lightness and the swirling matter of the cosmos. These works typically began as small balsa wood assemblages that were cast in bronze. While in some cases a cast bronze version was a finished work, in others they were used as maquettes to be enlarged to many times their original size. As with the monumental works of the 1970s, scale was very important to King's Celestial series, and these small cast bronze versions were used to determine the optimum size of the final works and whether or not they were in fact suitable for enlargement. "By doing this, I am able to discover what will work on a large scale," King commented in 2014. "I have a definite feeling for scale. I have a definite instinct of what will enlarge and what won't."